Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Interfaith Alliance President Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch. Author Jeff Charlotte is with us this week. His brand new book is titled The Undertow, Scenes from a Slow Civil War. I want to read a quote that you had. You know, you talk to an expert about it was about a Hebrew term, but it can be extrapolated much broader than that. You said, it's satisfying when an expert flattens a false claim. That's how so many of us believe we'll resist the undertow of civil war, fact-checking our way out back to solid ground. But much like the cross for Pastor Dave, such corrections miss the point. You can't fact-check a myth.
I'm so glad you bring that up. I should say for listeners, the cross, Pastor Dave, there are no crosses in this church. Some listeners to this show may know that the church considers itself in the spiritual heritage of, what's his name, is it A.A. Allen?
Okay.
You know, the famous sort of deliverance ministry guy, his, the pastor's wife is his granddaughter. But no crosses anymore. The pulpit is made of swords. And that's his point. He says the cross, he says, you know, it's we're familiar with muscular Christianity, but they're taking it a step further. And the metaphors, the way I think the moment we're in now, the metaphors are becoming very concrete. Spiritual war is a metaphor until so many people, like for Ashley Babbitt on January 6th, it means smashing a window and breaking into the Capitol with a knife. Suddenly spiritual war is real. Suddenly the cross, that's too much of a metaphor. So what do they replace it with? A sword. And you can talk to them and you can explain all the ways in which they're wrong. And I actually love the detail. He says, did you know there's no word for coincidence in the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, I can't read the original. So I called Seth Sanders at UC Davis, one of the great Hebrew scholars. And he goes,
Yes, there is.
And that's what I mean. It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you look at social media, and I think so many liberals just, like, take great satisfaction.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what else wasn't true? That you have a right to enslave other people. That didn't stop. No one in the North said, the white Southerner said, oh, my, why didn't anybody tell me this? Thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
We're going to fix this.
Yeah,
no,
right.
You have
right.
A horrific, horrific war.
I screenshotted a lot of your book, and I just, you know, I love the cross, but sometimes symbolism demeans that which it was meant to represent. Now is the time for war, spiritual or otherwise. You know, there was just like, you know, a moment there. And so I'm curious, like, from all of this, like, you've seen an arc, like, before the 2016 election.
Yeah.
You were covering Trump rallies.
Right,
you were there.
For,
and, like, people waiting for this, like, big, gorgeous, big plane, you know, to come and
you're trying to be
in.
Polite. It was absolutely, they speak of it in absolutely sexual terms, ecstatic terms, and it's easy to giggle at that and then think, no, wait a minute. If people are experiencing things sexually, ecstatically, pay attention because that's got power.
Pay attention because it has a deep impact. And so there's an arc and we're right there. And the question I have for you today, you know, we're talking just as there's some possibility, and maybe by the time this airs, Trump will be indicted.
Yeah.
And there's such a belief in Trump. And, you know, I want to, you know, get into the belief in Trump. But, you know, what if anything, does any of that have to do, like, him being indicted? I mean, probably it reinforces some, you know, some narrative that is out there about
he thinks
he
it
is.
Does. I, you know, sort of a job hazard is since 2015, I every day get several emails and texts from the Trump campaign. And you can't opt out. You can check in, but you can never leave. you know, every now and then I'm like, I'm just not going to write about this anymore. And you can't get rid of it. So I get it. And I think he trolled us. I think that was fairly masterfully done. He got the media. He wasn't going to be arrested Tuesday. And I think we knew that last week, but he got the media to sort of breathlessly wait all day talking about Trump. And that's all he wants. We read that he's been giving great thought to, like, what kind of face should I make for my perp walk? He's emailing multiple times. And what was funny, for days, he kept emailing saying, friends, this may be the last time I get to speak to you. And it's funny, right? And it makes me think of Tale of Two Cities and, you know, Sidney Carton. And it's a noble thing I do. But I think theologically, we should understand it in terms of that arc. And there is an arc in the book in that sense, that in the beginning, and in 2016, the theology of Trump rallies, and it wasn't much reported on, just like the preachers who opened every rally, far right preachers of color. And you see the press corps, and they're just looking at their phones, because that's not the news, because religion, of course, can never be the news. Trump's not really religious, so it's not how religion works.
Right.
And then he'd come out, and he would preach prosperity. Prosperity gospel. Right. Look at my beautiful plane. You can have it, too. So we knew that. 2020, it turns. It's much darker. It's QAnon.
Right.
And it's this bastardized American Gnosticism, the secrets within.
Yeah.
It's turned again, or rather deepened, right? It doesn't give up any of those things. It builds. This is the undertow. Ashley Babbitt, I think, is the turning point of martyrdom.
Yeah.
And now we're in the martyr phase, which is a very, very scary. We, you know, wealth, secrets, martyrdom, right? And I think we're seeing martyrdom over and over and over. It's part of the absolutely hateful anti-trans attack. What they're trying to do, they both hate trans people and they want to make trans kids martyrs, kids who are sacrificed. Mm. You know, I happen to have a queer trans child. And the idea is that those of us, that the enemy has sacrificing their children, that those are martyrs. And Trump realizes this is the theological moment now. So that's why he's saying, you may never hear from me again, as if he's going into the, you know, into the dungeon and so on. Send money now. Goodbye, friends. Goodbye.
Yes. And but you know I am with you. I mean,
I will always be with you.
I will always be in your hearts. And I do think that, you know, just to say a little bit, come back to that Gnosticism thing you were talking about. I do think that there is... Again, it's something that you cannot fact check away.
Right.
Because you're not seeing what they're seeing. You don't know what they know. And this is, I think, at the heart of QAnon. Yeah. And the QAnon Trump fusion now is this incredible Gnosticism. And you have this great, I keep quoting you at you, but I'm going to do it again. The Gospel of Thomas, the doubting one, does not reside with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the King James. But then Trump doesn't read the Bible. He doesn't need to. Rule books are for losers. Reading is for losers. The Gospel of Trump, like that of Thomas, non-canonical, anti-establishment, is Gnostic, a form of exclusive knowledge reserved for the faithful. The truth you must have eyes to see.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I was just like, oh, man, like, what do you do with that? I mean, what really, like, what, that's an honest question. What do you do with that?
I think, well, that is, you know, it's an interesting question because people always say, how do you talk to people who believe this, right, who are seeing other things? You know, for instance, part of the Gnosticism is, you know, Trump's tweets, when he could tweet, and I guess he can now, always filled with misspellings and strange capitalizations. Code for those who can see.
Yeah.
And there's any number of these sort of, I sat in a car at a Trump rally with a woman named Diane, and, you know, a smart woman doing this sort of endless numerology and feeling this access to power. And I should say, I teach at a college, Dartmouth College. I have access to a library. Now they feel they have access to the invisible archive too. It's part of why it feels like a democratizing force to them. They feel like they're making the story with Trump. How do you argue against that? What do you do about that? People are always saying, how do we talk sense into them? Well, as I said, I have a queer child. Someone said to me, if one of these, there is in fact a right-wing group suing my child's school district now, or preparing to do so, with an anti-LGBTQ suit. That's how I would characterize it. And if they came to me and they said, Jeff, how do we talk sense into you?
Right.
The answer is you don't.
Right.
You're not going to get me to believe that trans folks aren't human. That's not going to happen, or that they don't exist. I'm not interested in trying. I'm not interested in, and
you could say, oh, well, isn't that the end of liberal democracy, the end of persuasion? I think we have fetishized the debate stage. We have fetishized common ground. I think common ground, you know what common ground is a plantation. That was common ground. The right has forced, and another old song, Florence Reese, a labor song, which side are you on? The right has forced us into a which side are you on? And I think this is especially hard for many people of good faith, and I mean spiritual faith, because the whole idea is we're interested in other people's beliefs and we want to respect them and honor them, and we don't want to think in terms of sides. But that old Union song, there are no neutrals in Harlan County. When the gunmen are shooting, which side are you on? Mm. When they are criminalizing trans people, trying to make lists of kids, and list making of deviants has a historical precedent, and it's terrifying. Mm. Which side are you on?
Yeah.
And you can use empathy for the devil and say, hey, I want to understand how you think, but I'm standing over here.
Yeah. We need to take one last break and then more with the author of The Undertow, Scenes from a Slow Civil War by Jeff Charlotte. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.